What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 20. Fucking 20 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Perther, but you can call me Fish, and I'm sitting here with my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff.
How you been, Connor? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good.
My
good.
Voice has still been around, but
I haven't
been
you
here.
Had your presence. You haven't been here.
No, Japan. It was good.
Yeah? Did you have fun?
It was cold. It's fucking hot here. I want to go back. But didn't see many movies over the time. I did watch Zach Braff's fucking crowdfunding film that he made on the plane. I Wish I Was Here or Wish You Were Here or
was
something
it
like
that. Was it shit?
It was okay. Mm. Like, good idea. He directed it, wrote it, acted in it, you know, did Zach the whole Braff. Shebang. I don't think he's really that sort of entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He's not really an auteur. Mm. But it was all right. Just a few little heart-wrenching moments. His dad's dying of cancer throughout it. It's like, you know, one of those ones. Never really goes anywhere.
Oh, but, that's a bummer.
Yeah. But what have you been doing over the last 2 weeks?
I've been seeing movies, actually. I saw Birdman.
Oh, I need to catch up on everything. I came back to work yesterday and I saw the fucking list of movies that have come out. And I'm like, I haven't seen anything. I don't know who I am anymore.
Birdman.
Was it good?
Oh, it is fucking amazing.
Quick review, go.
Should win Best Picture. It's just, it's one take. It's not one take, it's one shot. It's meant to look like one shot the whole way through it.
And Michael the whole Keaton, film?
Yeah.
And oh, Michael really? Keaton I didn't know that.
Is outstanding as an actor. And the story is, the plot is just brilliant, I think. In my opinion, it's essentially this giant midlife crisis, Michael Keaton's massive midlife crisis, and it's a total satire on his actual career, and it's excellent. Edward Norton's great, Emma Stone's great, they're all fantastic. Like, it's just a really, really good movie that really kind of, it doesn't fall into any real cliches either. It's just this, it's a big satire, and it has some really awesome moments, some really touching moments as well, and I really enjoyed Birdman. I also saw...
Hold on, what do you rate Birdman? Give a rating. Go.
Gotta rate it? 4.5 out of 5. That's up there,
that's
one.
That's big for a McDuff.
That's a high score.
That's a big McDuff.
I can't recall what else I saw, actually. I think maybe that would have been it.
What else came out this week? Because we had... There was
Unbroken
Birdman.
Came out.
Did you see Unbroken?
No.
Unbroken...
I see that.
Well, obviously American Sniper, which we're about to review. And Wedding Ringer was the other one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I'm actually pretty keen for that.
I want to see that.
But I've literally gotten back a few days ago and have just been fucking working. And I'm like, I had to squeeze in American Sniper last night just so I could see the fucking
Welcome back to our life, David.
I'm actually really bummed that Birdman came out at the same time as American Sniper, because I would have liked to have done that.
Yeah, I would. Look, honestly, I would have preferred to review.
Yeah, I didn't. We'd already kind of committed to American Sniper.
That's okay.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. So it was like. But yeah, no, I'm going to go see it anyway.
It is not doing well. It is not an Australian film. It is not for Australian audiences at all. Because it's not. Yeah. It's not fucking. It's not linear, and it's not. It doesn't. It's not like a superhero film.
Yeah.
And unless you actually understand that it's a satire and you understand what's happening, you just sit, like, everyone who comes out is like, it's fucking terrible, it's fucking shit.
Really?
And I'm like, shut the fuck up, it's awesome, it's really, really good.
See, I've had the opposite. I had a few customers come in and say they saw Birdman and liked it.
French kiss them, because they're keepers. I tell you what, it's a fucking good movie. I saw Whiplash. I saw Whiplash as well. That was the other one I saw.
What's Whiplash?
Whiplash is up for Best Picture, I think.
Has all the Oscar, has it all come out?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You're so behind, it's freaking
man.
Out.
I haven't had fucking barely any internet or time.
Whiplash, it's about this kid who wants to be one of the best drummers in the world.
Oh, yes.
And it's like psychological...
It's that's a doco, isn't it?
No, not at all. It's like a psychological warfare between his character and J.K. Simmons' character, who's up for Best Supporting Actor. He should win it, because he's fucking awesome in it.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons.
It's so good. Like, the editing is just amazing. It's just outstanding film. I would give that a 4 out of 5, that one.
Yeah.
Not as good as Birdman, but fucking up there, I tell you what. One of the best of this year.
I have seen something about it. It was a while ago, though. Yeah, well, anyway, I gotta fucking catch up on some shit.
You do.
And...
Get your life together.
And then there's, like, a whole heap of movies coming out next week as well. Fucking hell.
It's all right. We'll see one of them.
Yeah, one of them.
And review one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Very soon, too, because I won't be here next week. Yeah. Oh, God. All right.
It's a never-ending struggle. Okay. Well, I did see a pretty cool fucking trailer before American Sniper last night. The new trailer for Mad Max Fury Road.
I saw that too, actually.
Holy crap, that looks good.
It looks so good.
Fucking hell. Like, I don't know. Have you seen the other Mad Max
films? No.
I've only seen the first one, and it's pretty fucking awesome. I'm sure I've seen the others at some point throughout my life, but it's the thing I'm most excited about this new Mad Max is that, you know, George Miller is returning, the original director.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Fucking really cool. And like, he you know, for an old school director, like, I'm not like really familiar with most of his work. I only really know him from Mad Max and Happy Feet.
He did Happy Feet?
He did for Happy Feet, yeah. I don't really know his style that well, but like, this looks really like stylized. Like, awesome. It looks really, really cool the way, like, the grading and the you know, the way it's shot and stuff. And I would have liked to have seen Mel Gibson come back, but like, Tom Hardy's a pretty fucking, a pretty good... What, don't you like Mel Gibson?
No, I do, as an actor, not as a person. But I think if he came back as Mad Max, it'd be a very different film.
I reckon it would be awesome, because I think he's still got it, man. Like, he was the best thing about Expendables 3, and he's still, every time he acts, he is fucking phenomenal. Like, anything he's done, like, Get the Gringo was a really good film. There was another one that he wasn't that good, but he was good.
Shit, yeah.
He was good. He's still got that presence. He's just got that superstar presence, and like, because I'm not a huge Mad Max fan, I'm kind of like, I don't really care, but like, it would have been cool to get him back, but obviously there was some reason behind it.
I'm so keen. I bet he'll probably make an appearance, I'm imagining.
I heard that he doesn't.
He doesn't
But
at
I
all?
Would like that to happen, yeah. So I don't know. But Tom Hardy's fantastic.
Comes in wearing a swastika. Mel, you're a character.
Yeah, so I'm pretty keen for that one. But other than that, lately I've been doing, me and my girlfriend have started a John Hughes marathon. Are you familiar with John Hughes?
Not at all.
Do you know Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, yeah. He did Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, he directed that. Oh. Weird Science, Breakfast Club. He's that
good director.
Guy. Yeah, really, like the 80s fucking comedy guy,
yep.
Like family comedy guy was John Hughes. And pretty much anything around that era that was funny in a family sense, he wrote it or produced it or directed it.
He was involved in it in some way.
So we went and made like a list of something like 48 films that he's involved with that we started. And we started with The Great Outdoors the other day, which stars John Candy and brain spasm. The guy from Ghostbusters.
Which one? Harold Ramis?
No.
Dan Aykroyd, Bill Nye.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. Dan, fucking brain fart. Dan Aykroyd and John Candy, and they're out in the woods, out in the cabin, and John Candy's just trying to have a good time with his family, Dan Aykroyd's like the rich brother-in-law, and he comes in and basically takes over and does all the cool things with the kids. It's like classic family comedies and stuff. Really good film. There's bears involved, which is always good.
Has bears, 4 out of 10.
Yeah. Then we moved on to Uncle Buck, which is fucking hilarious. I'd actually never seen it, which is, it was like a big film when I was a kid. Everyone knew Uncle Buck, like all my friends quote Uncle Buck, and I've only just seen it now, which is pretty sad. John Candy, again, he's the lovable idiot, brother when, the parents of these children have to go away
and Uncle Buck comes to look after him
and he's like, you know, doesn't know how to look after kids and all this. Good times. John Hughes.
Sounds like St. Vincent.
Yeah, did you see that?
No.
I still haven't seen that. I really want to see that. Fuck, I'm so behind. I don't know who I am.
To be honest, I saw Birdman in the movies and that was it, because I was so happy that I didn't have to go to the cinema every fucking day of my life. That's all I do. That's all we do is live at our workplace because we have to see fucking movies every day almost.
it was only for that fucking Boxing Day recap.
But it literally, because we did that and then went straight into the next week.
We had to do two films. We had to do two.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's been fucking insane.
It's been a big one.
There's no structure in our lives anymore.
Man. All right. Well, let's move on to American Sniper, shall we?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. Do you want to cap this one?
It's a biopic.
Yeah.
About whatever his name is.
Chris Kyle?
The American Sniper. and his life as he does about four different tours in the Middle East, where he is regarded as the deadliest sniper in US history. And it just kind of follows that, really.
Yeah, I was trying to like take in the plot points, but basically
it's just his life.
It's his life, and he has a rivalry with an Israeli sniper.
Yeah, which is
That's a big thing. And he starts out as a sniper and works his way into building like task force that go to take out high
the butcher, whatever his name is. They don't even find him, do they? He's just
They kill the butcher.
When do they kill him?
There's a bit where they hunt him down, don't they? I thought they got him.
They don't get him.
Fuck, I don't know. I'm sure they got him. I'm sure they killed him. Because in the second tour.
No.
In the second tour, they break into his little thing and he goes down the...
Oh, they blow him up. That's right.
Yeah.
Fuck. he blows him up. He like shoots the car until it explodes.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
He's getting away. He's like, the butcher's on the move. I'm in pursuit. On his feet.
Yeah. And he's like, pew, pew.
Engines in those fucking Israeli jeeps, I tell you.
Cheap little fucking things.
Yeah, so it's there's not really much to go into there, but it's just the story of this this guy's life.
Also, spoilers, he dies at the end. You don't see it, but he dies.
Yeah, he gets back from... we should go into that. The whole thing in the film that the film tackles is... You know, he is never home when he's home either. Like, when he comes back to his family, he's constantly, still looking over his shoulder and thinking about that shit. And when he finally quits the Navy SEALs, he comes back and starts working with veterans who've,
trying to help him and stuff.
Yeah, dismembered, and they're, mentally hurt and stuff like that. And he helps out in those. And that, in the end, is his demise when he goes out to a shooting range with some veteran who blows him
the fuck up, really.
Yeah, he gets shot. Apparently, that guy shot another dude that day as well.
Really?
I tried to look into it a little bit. I don't really know the full story, but I'd like to know why the fuck he shot.
Because he's got PTSD. He would have just been traumatized.
Yeah.
He probably just... That sort of thing, I think, really fucks someone up. Mm. It can... it has a potential. I think it's something like in the US, there's more suicide, like military suicides, than there are actual deaths in combat.
Yeah, I could believe that. Absolutely. Because it's fucked.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Fucked, man. I wish they went into it more in this film, though. That's my only issue. Just... What,
like PTSD?
Yeah, like PTSD. Like, you've seen... I made a short film about PTSD. It really, really sparks my interest because I think it's just this insane, this disorder that people can develop. Anyone can develop this.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind. I wish it just went into it more because it's such a powerful
I do agree
thing.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
I read up last night about this veteran who did kill Chris Kyle. He his trial is coming up in like the next month or two.
Really?
And his lawyer has said, like, how is this guy going to get a fair trial when American Sniper, a fucking blockbuster film, has just come out?
That's it.
And everyone's going to be, about this dude now.
Patriotism.
That's interesting. Like, he's obviously guilty. Yeah. Like, he shot the guy and, like, I suppose it's a mental condition.
Why is the difference?
Yeah, so I'd be interested to know more about that. I do wish it went into that a little bit more, but That's how this guy's story ended, and that's how the film ends. So I'm okay with that. Let's start off. Let's talk about Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he looks like he's got no neck. What the fuck happened to him?
He got fucking big.
Yeah, he's like doesn't have his beard or anything, and he looks so weird to me. Like, he didn't look like Bradley Cooper. I'm looking at him like, who the fuck are you? Like, you look so strange right now. You're freaking me out. He's got this giant neck, like this just huge neck. He's all like roided up almost.
I kind of thought, like, he just buffed up. Like, and he is, he's buffing it, but he's not like toned like he normally is.
He's just thick.
That's exactly the word. But that's what this dude kind of looks like. You know, you see the pictures, in the credits, they have like pictures of his funeral.
It looks exactly like him. Yeah.
He looks exactly like him. I was like, that's fucking great casting and, great work on Bradley Cooper to, get to that point. because obviously he is quite a lean dude generally. Mm. You know, you look at him in the Hangover, he's looks like skinny as
yeah,
hell.
Yeah,
like,
well, we've got a photo of him right here.
Look, he doesn't look anything
he
like, that,
look like that at all.
And so that was really cool. And I thought he did really well in the role. I liked him. I liked his fucking weird slurring. I liked how he talked. I just thought that he really brought a lot to it.
I didn't like him very much as this dude. I like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was a very good actor in this.
Why?
Because I couldn't fucking understand any word he was saying to begin with. Like, his little fucking Texan accent that he's got going on. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? I don't understand you.
Really?
Plus, I just didn't think he was very good. There was one moment. There's a couple of moments that I really thought, wow, that was good. Like the second time he's watching the kid through the sniper. The second time,
when he
picks up the RPG.
Yeah, that's probably the best scene in the film.
And when he's in the bar, when he comes home, the last time or second last time, those two instances, I was like, wow, that's powerful. Like, you've done, that's really awesome. But everything else, I was like,
really?
Yeah, I didn't just didn't feel it.
Wow, so wrong.
Fuck you.
Because he was so good. Like, I thought he was fucking perfect in this role. Like, I understand that your problem with him slurring and being unable to understand, because there were a few lines that I didn't get, but I thought generally I was able to pick it up.
Oh, yeah, for the most part.
I wasn't worried about that, because you know me. If I can't understand, I'm going to get pissed off. So, yeah. And it didn't get to a point where I was shitty with the accent.
Oh, it didn't make me angry. I just was like, I can't, like, understand you.
The thing I liked about how he spoke and how he played things is because he fits the fucking American massive dude. And he's all like, you know, I do it for my country and all this sort of shit. But the way he talks and the way he is shows that he's not so sure about that. And I think that's what I like about what Clint Eastwood has brought to this is fucking America. But it's his character in particular, because you could see that even especially when he comes back from his tours, he's like so like unsure of who he is and what he's supposed to do. And like even when he's the fucking legend, it's like, yeah, he's driven and he's there to take out the fucking butcher and, you know, all the bad guys, but he doesn't like doing it.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't like the killing. He's doing it to protect his fucking boys. And the internal fucking conflict in Bradley Cooper's face the entire film is there. And that's why I thought that he fucking nailed it.
I definitely think you can see that, like, war takes its toll on him. But I totally disagree that he doesn't like it. Like, the whole way through the film, he goes on about how they're, like, he says at one point they're savages and stuff. And I see, like, I don't think the turmoil is in him. Like, I don't agree with, like, I agree. I agree that war is taking its toll. I think you can see that by the end, because he says, he's like, yeah, I'm ready to go home. But I don't believe he, like, the killing side of things, I don't think that's as much of a turmoil as it just the toll of having to constantly go back and see the things he sees, I think, in a lot of ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. He even says at some point, it's not about the people that he's killed, it's about the guys that he didn't save.
Yeah, didn't
and,
save.
And, but I don't think that he's fucking...
Oh, he doesn't believe that there. No, not at all.
I don't think he has bloodlust, if you know what I mean. He's out there to... He's like, I'm gonna fucking kill everyone. Like, he is the most lethal sniper in history, or what they say, like, he clocked 160 kills or something like
ridiculous,
that.
Yeah.
I still, just the way that Cooper plays it, like that first time when he kills the fucking kid and the mum, he's like, fuck off, get the fuck off me, when that guy's all like, yeah, man, fucking,
yeah.
And that, see, that's what I liked. And I thought, it's both, you know, it's obviously a directing part on Clint Eastwood and Cooper. Both, I thought they both just connected really well with that turmoil. And it was just, like I said, the entire time through it, I felt that, he's battling himself. Like, is this the right thing? All right.
Yeah, no, there is that. Like, you are right. Of course, there's turmoil, and he does show that. And Bradley Cooper does show it well. Mm. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he was terrible as.
Is he nominated?
Yes, for Oscar. He shouldn't be, but he is.
I bet he wins it.
This is my issue, because people are raving about him like he is, like this is an amazing performance.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
It's
man.
Okay, but it's not. Like, this is what I mean. Why the fuck is he nominated? But I think a lot of my issues also arise from other things in this film, not just Bradley Cooper. I don't think if he gets the Oscar, I'm gonna slap myself. Well, and he won't get it, because you haven't seen Birdman. You need to see fucking Birdman.
Oh, I'm not. Look, listen. I'm not saying in a performance wise that I think he should get the Oscar, because I haven't seen the other ones, and I'm almost gonna guarantee you that Michael Keating is better. But like,
he's so good.
But he's playing an American hero, and it's an American Oscar.
Oh, so you know what that means. The Oscars. Fucking hell. We've had so many different discussions about how bullshit the Oscars are. But yeah,
it's
if he does...
up, isn't this going to... That's going to be an
interesting... If he wins... Look, I tell you what. If he wins Best Actor, I will do something fucking stupid. Like, I will wax my body or something. Like...
Yeah, I think he probably will. Because of what that film is. It's an American Sniper.
You're right. And I just hope I hope you're wrong though.
I'm not saying that I believe it. Like, I'll have to see the other films and see what's nominated and all that. But like, Bradley Cooper is probably an Oscar worthy actor. I don't know if this is the fucking performance, but this was a good performance for me. I don't know if it's an Oscar winning performance.
It wasn't. It's not. At all.
I can't understand why you can't see why he was so good. I thought he was really, really good.
I think
what are your other issues? Let's get into some issues. You've obviously got some beef here, I'm feeling.
Fucking this film is just so, like, my biggest issue with this film is that from a technical point of view, it's okay. Like, it's a decent film. Like, it's a biopic. Biopics generally do okay. It's got a decent story. It's got a character that we can really appreciate and follow, because he's portrayed as a hero and he's protecting his friends and he's just super patriotic. He's super about his family as well. He's all about the people he loves. And this is my problem with the film, because it is so fucking pro-American the whole way through it. This is near propaganda, this shit. I brought this up on Facebook as well. This is near fucking propaganda, because my biggest issue with it is that when I say this sort of thing and say it's pro-American, and, you know, our friends like Reese has said disagreed, and that's fine to disagree, because Reese is smart enough, you know, people are smart enough like ourselves to go, well, it's a film, like, it's not propaganda. This isn't, you know, I'm not going to join the fucking army after I watch this, or I'm not going to think that, or I'm not going to think this. But other people aren't so bright. And my problem is, It's just like they see that side of things and see it as a good film, and then all these themes that are in the film come up, like it's all about patriotism in America. The last fucking 5 minutes of the film is like them waving the American flag, like that's what the last, because it's his funeral and it's just a montage of the American flag waving around. That really gets me. That's a scary thing, that this is released, nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor. And the whole fucking way through the film, it's just so like, let's fuck yeah, America. You know what it reminds me of? Seth Rogen said the same thing. It reminds me of the film in Inglourious Bastards of The Sniper in the Tower. You know that Nazi film that they watched, the propaganda film? That's what it reminds me of as well. Like, it's got that same sort of, it's scary, man. Like, a lot of my hate that I have for this movie, a lot of it comes from these themes, because I watch it and I watch the whole way through. I'm like, he's not impartial. Clint Eastwood is never impartial towards Bradley Cooper's character. He shows that Bradley Cooper's character has turmoil within him and stuff, and that he's like a scarred character, but it's never like, you never question if Bradley Cooper is a good guy, or you never question if what's happening in the war is an okay thing, because like, you just, everyone, you just look at Bradley Cooper's character and go, wow, what a good dude. And, oh, it fucking scares me, man. Like, it's really scary that this has happened. And it's up for so much when it really shouldn't be. This should not win Best Picture. Oh, man.
What scares you? Why are you scared?
Because it's fucking propaganda. It's just so.
But how's that going to affect you?
It doesn't affect me. It affects other people. It affects the people around me because they watch it and they just, it's
do
just,
you really think that
yes.
other Australians are sitting here and going, yes. like, yeah, America? Because no, I think most think... people will be on the same page as you.
Most people are, which is good. So far, I've heard a lot of people who agree with what I'm saying, which is handy. But well, it is, because it gives me comfort. But it's less to do with, like, I don't think Australians are going to sit here and go, fuck yeah, America. I think Australians are going to look at that situation, that crisis in the Middle East and stuff, and they and everyone becomes very, very, very one-sided to a situation that at oftentimes isn't. But I don't want to get into the politics of it. My stance on
I just don't really understand why you're so scared.
I'm not scared. It's just a scary thing that's, like, it's...
Like, Nazi propaganda was, you know, Nazis were fucked.
I know. I'm like, not saying...
Are really
I'm not
Americans as fucked as
I'm
Nazis?
I'm not saying this is Nazi propaganda. I'm just saying the film reminded me of the film in Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. I'm not directly saying, look at the Nazis. I'm just saying it reminded me of that. Just because it's a fucking sniper film in Inglourious Basterds. It's the same sort of...
Yeah.
Thing. Don't, yeah, please don't direct quote me saying paraphrase me saying I'm saying Americans are Nazis. I'm just saying it's a bit of a propaganda piece in a lot of ways, and that frightens me.
But even if it was to be so, you know, people were to, you know, be like, yeah, cool, the Americans are the good guys here, why is that a bad thing to you?
It's not a bad thing for people to think Americans are the good guys here. I think it's a bad thing to think that if you watch a Clint Eastwood film and then your entire opinion on the situation is from that. That's what scares me.
But why is it scary? I don't understand.
Because
why it's scary.
That's a bad way to form an opinion. That's a bad way. That's a big issue. Like, it's a big problem that's going on and has been going on for years. And for you to form an opinion entirely on watching 1 2.5 hour movie where Bradley Cooper doesn't have a neck and his head's attached to his body, with nothing in between, it's like that. That's what I mean. It's a propaganda piece, if that makes sense. Like, that frightens me, that people, because people will think that. I know that.
I think more Americans will think that, and it'll be more because they're kind of like, yeah, fucking America, because it's their country. And it's like the same thing would happen if an Australian film was made. Like, look at Kokoda. It's all about the fucking Australian troops, and they're the good guys in that film, not the where are the Kokodans? I don't know where the fuck's.
No, you're
Kokoda.
Right. No,
you know what I mean. Like, it depends.
Yeah, you
where
are right.
Made.
And you're totally right. And
like, you are aware this is called American Sniper.
Yeah,
right?
I am, but it doesn't. It's irrelevant. The film, like, it's a, it's just,
I don't
a
think
bad.
It is irrelevant. That's a. It's,
well, it
definitely...
doesn't matter. It's called American Sniper. It's about an American sniper. That doesn't mean the film has to be pro-American.
All right. So I need to jump in with my two cents here. I don't disagree with you by any means. But I do think it's very pro-America. But I went in expecting that, because it is called American Sniper. It's about an American hero. You know, the fucking, at the end when we see his funeral with all American flags, that's what they do. You know, this is what it is. This is what this story is. And I disagree with you saying that Clint Eastwood is, you know, being impartial, because...
No, he's not being impartial.
Not being impartial, because he is at points. There's like, it's not so much with... Because throughout the film, like, especially later in the film, it does rear its head the question, is this the right thing? And especially when one of his mates dies and that chick's reading out the letter, and I can't remember what the letter said, but it basically said, you know, we're fighting for honor, we're fighting for all this, but then does any of that really matter? Or something along those lines. And that's when I started to be like, ooh, okay. You know what I mean? So it is impartial. And I think that's what I liked, what Clint Eastwood brought to this, because it wasn't just pro-America. Like, well, it is pro-America, but it wasn't like, is this the right thing or is this not the right thing? That does, it's not like a strong fucking question, but it is there. if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think my problem is that it isn't a strong question. Like, they bring it up occasionally and they're like, oh, look, he's this and that, but it's not like, it's not a major part of the film, which is my issue.
I think towards the end it does become more of a major part. It probably could have been stronger.
But he doesn't get discharged. Like, he doesn't go back home after that last tour because of that letter or because he doesn't think they're doing the right thing. He goes back because he's had enough. Like, he goes back because he's sick of what he's doing.
But I feel that he's starting to believe that is what's the right and wrong things here. He doesn't know. Like,
I don't think so. Because
I think, when he kills his rival, and that's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah, because when she's like, what did you think of the letter? He's just straight away talking about how he died. His worry is less to do with the politics behind everything, and it's more to do with, like, his mind is always, like you said, it's always on war. It's always on what's happening over there. That's one of my big issues is, like, they have these moments where it's like, look at this character. Look what they're trying to represent. Look what this character is trying to foreground. And then it's kind of just, it's there. So we go, yeah, but they do question the politics in it. But he never really does. It comes up occasionally, but he just shoves it aside the whole time. When he brings it up the first time, mustache guy, brings it up and he's like, you know, I don't really agree with what we're doing here.
Mm.
Bradley Cooper's character is just like, fuck off. he's like, fuck off. You're wrong. He gets really offended and he's like, you're an idiot, and just walks off.
Yeah, but that's his character. And I know the end of the character. Film, he turns more into, because at that point, I think he thinks that he has to kill these people. That's his job, is to kill the savages, in quotes. But he, towards the end, it becomes more about that he was there to protect his boys. And
I agree.
More,
and it's definitely...
That's the theme in the end. It's like looking out for your own sort of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely like his character, of course. Like, they didn't do that to be like, see, everyone's wrong, America's fine for being there. But... I just like that it happens so little that it doesn't become a relevant thing, I don't think.
I think it is relevant. I just don't I know what you're saying. I think it probably could have been stronger, but I think just the fact that it's there is contradicting what you're saying about it being 100%, you know.
Well, it's not 100%, which is I don't think the whole way through it, they're just like, look how great America is, because they're not. But that's like, it all just comes together. The grand scheme, like the overall point of it is that it is very pro-American. Mm. And they add in a lot of these things, I think, to try and deflate people's arguments against the film. And they added in like these sort of subplots and little things like that to go, yeah, but we're showing this. You know, this aspect of it, so we're not just this. We're not just propaganda, which I think is nonsense, really.
Well, it's definitely not propaganda. I think,
okay, it's not. Whenever I say that, I am embellishing what I'm...
You're saying it's almost propaganda.
It is near propaganda. Okay. It's what it represents is very propaganda-like.
Yeah. Well, listen, I didn't have a problem with it because of the fact that that's what this story is. And this is what American soldiers are like, just from what I kind of know from movies and reading about them and stuff. Like, they are very, oorah, fucking America. Whereas Aussie soldiers are the same. You know, fucking anyone who fights for a team is kind of about that team. And this is about the American team. So I'm in it for what the story is. And I actually feel bad for you that you can't look past these themes and stuff and find the story, because the story is a lot stronger than the themes. It's all about this character, I find.
I also don't like character either. I didn't look... Like, I know I watch it as a film, and then everything just comes together. Like, the narrative for me wasn't even that spectacular.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this now, because I will probably agree with you here. I've brought up the things that I like about this film. Like, I like what Eastwood's done playing with it, going back and forth between, you know, is this the right thing or the wrong thing? I like what Bradley Cooper brought to it, but there's a lot that I don't like. And one is, especially in the battle scenes, there's a lot that is just fucking boring. A lot that I was zoning out, especially that fight in the sandstorm. Generic fucking Israeli number three comes out and they're just fucking spray firing at each other and you don't actually see anyone get hit. It's all like, there's just this mess of fucking what is happening. What the fuck? Like, I was really unimpressed by that.
I just agree completely. Like, a lot of the reason I think I feel so strongly about why I dislike this film also comes from the fact that it's pretty weak, like, in a lot of...
I think the story here is Bradley Cooper's character battling with himself. And I saw that and I liked that. But those scenes kind of didn't go into that as much as I would like it. Because I would have liked to have seen more with him back in America getting over PTSD and doing all that stuff. Because that was the good shit.
That was
him trying to come back to a family. Like,
I would have fucking loved that. Like, that, this is, you know, obviously I would after, I'm going to get so much shit for what I've fucking said in this podcast. But you know, when he goes to beat the dog, like he grabs a dog, man, I wish he fucking beat the dog up. Like, I just want to, like, cause I want to see him turn. Like, I want to see him turn. I want to see that PTSD kind of overcome him a bit, which it never does. Like, it just, he has it,
it's
and
just
then,
sitting on the, it's boiling on the,
he
on
has
the
it
edge,
and then
yeah.
And then there's just that last scene where he's home and he's like, oh, I'm a good dad again. And it's just, he's like, he sees the veterans occasionally, like there's like a bit of a bit with that, and then he's just,
well, that's, no, I don't mind the ending. I don't mind that he turned, because we need, like, I don't know if that's how it really happened or whatever, but like, as a character, he needed to,
I'm glad he turned, but there wasn't any progression from what he was before and what he is at the end.
I thought there was, you know, it was, while brief, there was that scene with him with
shooting,
the veterans,
yeah,
and that. You're right, I would have liked to have seen more of that and more of that and less of the tours. Like, you know, I know he did four tours, but really, the only tours that were relevant was number one, where he shot the kid and the mum. Number two, where he catches the butcher. Number three was kind of nothing. Number four, he kills the fucking, the bad sniper dude. That could have been done in two tours. You know what I mean? Like, he could have killed the butcher, then found his fucking rival, took him out, and then the rest of the film is him kind of getting over it.
This is what I mean by, like, Eastwood not being partial, because he just shows, like, they've got all these moments where it's like, oh, PTSD, he's a bit troubled, and then it's just like, but he's a soldier, and he just goes back and he's doing what
he does what he does.
Yeah.
But it's boring though.
That's the problem. Yeah. Like, it's not fun to watch. It's just like really fucking boring. If we can remember in the four tours that they show in a 2.5 movie, we remember three fucking instances which we liked, that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Every time I think of the Hurt Locker, I go, I like so much about that movie. There are so many instances where he's defusing bombs, like, almost the whole way through. I'm like, this is fucking cool to watch, man. Mm. It's just, like, you know, that's a problem. And I totally agree.
I liked when he was doing his sniping thing, and it kind of lost a lot of it when he started his battle force, task force or whatever, and was on the ground. Like, I know it was like he wanted to be amongst it and help and do it. And, but I preferred it when he was doing his sniper thing, because I thought, every time he was being a sniper, I thought that was shot well. I thought it was done. Mm. Like, when people get popped by his fucking snipe, like, really cool. Like, you know, there's that dude setting up a little grenade in the ground. It's just like, he just falls over. That's and I'm it. Like, "That's I like that. That was really cool." But yeah, the battles were just rubbish. Yeah.
The fucking baby. Oh my God, did you notice it? Please tell me you did. You know the baby that they have? Like
his kid?
Yeah. It's fake as fuck. You didn't notice it, did you?
No, I didn't look at it.
It's so fucking bad. I was like laughing in the cinema.
Oh, really?
Like, to myself, because I didn't want to be an asshole, but it looked that fake. It looks that bad. There's one bit where Bradley Cooper has his finger on this fake baby's hand, is like moving his finger up and down to make the fucking baby look like its arm is moving.
Oh,
and it looks so bad. And they have one other bit where I don't know if it's CGI or like a robotic arm for the baby, but it just does the same motion. And I was next to Mel and I'm like, Mel, look at the fucking hand. It does the same thing. Yeah, we got... I felt like everyone
was... I didn't pick
that
up.
It was fucking terrible. Like, it was that bad. It was... Oh, my God.
There was one bit that I laughed out loud in a lot of the crowd. Because this has been selling the fuck out, this movie.
Yeah, this is a big...
And
big
it's
film.
Like... Well, I was in a full cinema last night. It was good. But it's the scene at the start when when he's a kid and his dad's talking about, you know, the sheepdogs and the sheep and all that. And he says, I can't remember what it was, but it was basically like, are you going to be a sheepdog, son? And it goes to the kid and he just does this weird, he's like stern look and does this nod, just nods. And it looks so shit. It looks so stupid. Like, I understand it could have been a really cool little thing, but this kid's performance and fucking how they did it was just
when he
so
pulls out, when
the- and the whole crowd just started laughing. Oh, fuck.
When the dad pulls out the belt too, I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I didn't know what that was all about. Like,
it's just like Chris Kyle grew up in a stern house. His dad whips him. What the fuck? Yeah,
maybe
that was weird.
Maybe that was to foreshadow him about to belt the dog.
Yeah, the whole the brother played like a big part in the first 20 minutes and then he's just gone. Like,
yeah, what?
Yeah, like you see him and he's like, fuck this place.
I thought
man.
He was going to be a really big deal. Actually, that was another issue I had is basically everything outside of Chris Kyle didn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Like his you know, teammates and stuff. I didn't even know who the fuck any of them were. I kind of recognized the guy with the mustache. And then they
needed, he had a mustache.
Yeah, they needed more bro time,
more development.
More development in all of those characters because like I didn't care when they died.
Exactly, and when the whole like you said, when it's all about him and how he fights for his friends, yet you don't ever fucking hear about his friends.
Mm.
Like what the fuck?
Nah, and that's a big deal. Like that's where this movie's been hurt the most, I think, because the best war films out there are all about camaraderie. And, you know, brothers in arms and fucking shit like that. And you just don't feel it.
You know, I like war films. Yeah. Like, you know, I have, this is what I mean. Like, I have a really keen interest in war and I have a really keen interest in war films. And like, you're right. You look at a show like Band of Brothers and you look at a movie like Private Ryan and it's about that mateship that they share. And it's about the horrors of war. And you still root for the Americans. You're still rooting for Tom Hanks's character or, Dick Winners and Band of Brothers and that, but they're never demonizing the opposition and they're never, it's just about them and it's about that friendship because when those characters die in those, like in Private Ryan, you know, you're like, fuck me. Like, oh my God. Like Vin Diesel, spoilers, you've seen Private Ryan, haven't you?
Yeah.
Vin Diesel's character just got shot. Like, oh my God. Like what the fuck, you know? And he's holding his letter. Like that's a big deal because you've just attached yourself to these characters because that's what the film's about. Whereas you watch this and you've got him and his four mates and they get shot and it's just like, all right.
Yeah. And you could tell that they obviously had the idea of building these characters up because the death scenes are made out to be more of a big deal than I actually feel they are. Especially the guy goes blind and he bought the fucking the ring that was not from sales
shit.
Or whatever. Like, it was almost a setup, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And I was really pissed off at that because like what you said, that's what makes these films.
It's almost like he tried to do too much. It's like at one point it's like, you know, they try and put a political politics in it and they're like, look how bad the Taliban are or the terrorists are, and then it's look how bad PTSD can affect someone, which they never do enough of, and then it's like look at how he's a good guy with all of his friends, which they never do enough of, and then it's like look at his family, which they never show enough of. Like it's just like they've tried so to put so much and you didn't do a good job.
Well, I think the thing they do the best of is the PTSD. I did like those scenes and I did like it and I got it, but I would have liked more. There's definitely not enough character building for the brothers and all that. And, you know, he changes fucking assistant sniper or whatever every time that he fucking... Like, it's a black guy, there's that punk at the start, and he's playing the Game Boy, you know? Like, it's like, keep these guys in it. Yeah. Just like, but it's hard, like, and I can understand some... Like, I understand, but it doesn't work for a story-wise, and... but this is obviously how it actually happened, so you kind of have to stick to things a little bit.
Yeah, look,
but then I've also heard that things have like gone off the rails a lot from the real story, so I don't know.
Yeah, look, our friend Reese from work you know, brings up really good points when I discussed this with him about PTSD and stuff. And you know, he could really clearly see all of that PTSD stuff and he thought it was awesome and he had like a real, I think, appreciation for that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I could too.
But you know, I think it depends on what you see when it happens, I guess. Like I could see it happening. I could see it when he's when, you know, he's in the car and that the van's behind him and he looks in the mirror and I'm like, wow, that's a cool little bit. But it should have had more to it. There should have been more to that aspect of it. And like you said, like if they're blowing out like things out of proportion one way, just do it fucking right then. Yeah. Like do it, blow it out of proportion and make it entertaining. Not like, you know, and that other fucking bit I didn't like is the final kill between him and his like wannabe antagonist who just kind of shows up randomly. That 2 kilometer, it's like 2 kilometers or something. He shot the guy over. Yeah. And it goes into bullet time mode. And it's that, the 3D yeah. Matrix bullet. Fuck off. Really? Like, you've got this film that's trying so hard to be real, like this realistic film. And then it just goes straight Hollywood with this bullshit fucking bullet. And I'm like, oh my God, that was so terrible. That was so bad.
Nah, that was awesome.
Really?
I fucking loved that scene.
I fucking hated it.
I thought it was so good. Like, it's... the focus, that's what it is. It's what it, and him finally popping that guy was fucking awesome. Like I actually, when he got taken, when his head fucking blew all over the, you know, the tarp behind him, I was like, oh fuck, really liked it.
I reckon it would have been way more powerful if he just shot it, like shot his gun and you just see him like,
you have to make a deal out of it though. I'm okay with it. I think you have to make a big deal out of the big kill.
But I
and
think
it was
could,
like a big shot.
But
like,
you could have made a big deal out of it without turning to cheesy Hollywood fucking shit
cheesy.
Effects.
Like, I know what you're saying, but I didn't think it was cheesy.
The CGI, though, was also shocking, too. Like, did you not see, like, the CG helicopters and stuff that were flying through? They looked fucking terrible. Like, they looked... there's a lot of scenes where there's, like, helicopters flying over, and I was like, they look fucking terrible. Like, they look awful.
No, I didn't notice.
You were jet-lagged or something, man. You need to spark up, because...
I think that you were just in a negative space
because I war movies.
But you were so, like... Your biggest problem with this was pro-America stuff, and it's, like, from the start, it's just like, ooh, America, and I was watching it, and I was like, I can tell that people would get pissed off at this.
I wasn't pissed while I was watching it. I was pissed after I watched it. But I wasn't thinking about that side of things when I'm watching those sort of scenes, because it doesn't matter. It's a movie. I want to think about that afterwards, which I did. Just those little things, like those technical aspects. And like you said, the fight scenes are boring. And I just, I think from a film, like from a narrative point of view and from like a tension, like building tension, I just think like that bullet time thing was fucking weak. And I thought the sandstorm battle was stupid. Like
the sandstorm battle
can't
was
see
stupid.
Shit. Yeah. We don't care. Because, you know, and I just, it's so all over the place.
My final big issue with this film was the fucking wife. She grated on me so bad, like, especially towards the end. Like, I get it. Fucking war's hard on families. Good God. Mm. But does she have to keep fucking going and going and going and whinging about that he's not coming back? He's not there. Like, her character needed to fucking have some sort of arc and, you know, become a stronger person, because all she was doing the whole fucking movie was whinging about him not being there, even though it's clear that he's fucking breaking in front of her, you know, especially when he's home. It really annoyed me. Like, really,
yeah, it's a bad way to create a representation of a female character, especially in like a pro-American movie where like they're trying to represent all the ideals of like what an American citizen should be or like an American male should be, and then you've got his wife who's his
fucking whingy wife.
literally just like whines, and like you said, it war is hard on families.
I felt like slapping her in the face because she says, "I'll never marry a Marine because fucking what is this." Well, you did, and now you got to fucking face the orchestra, you know what I mean?
Like, you're right. Like, there's never any... She never seems to act like she understands what's happening. It's almost just like she's always like, oh, come on.
Not until the end when she's like... And even when she says, you know, oh, I'm just glad to have my husband. Yeah. Like, fuck off, bitch. You fucking whore.
Yeah, it sucks though, because if she was like... If she was represented as like a strong single mother in it, where she's looking after her kids and she gets hit on... While she's out, she tells him to fuck off, or she's looking out for herself, and then he comes back and he acts like this, and he tries to care for him, and he still like disregards her, and then goes, "You're a
and
fucking
then cracks,
idiot."
Yeah,
that would make it so much like her character would have been so much stronger. And,
exactly.
You know, it's probably going to be overlooked. Like, people are going to think what you thought and go like, "She's fucking annoying," but they're not actually going to think after that, you know, what if she wasn't annoying? Like, what if she was a strong character? Because it's a really poor representation of what a female character could be.
It's very bad. And it takes away exactly what you said. It could, like, because I get it. I get the message they're giving you.
Yeah.
And it is like, when I used to work for the news, I used to film troops coming back all the time. And I thought to myself, I will never be in the Defense Force where if I have a family, I will never be in the Defense Force where I'm away from my family for this amount of time, like, you know, months to years at a time or whatever, and come back and it's like the best thing ever. They haven't seen their kids in years. They haven't seen all the, you know, like, that's horrible. I understand that. And I got it from the start when she was first started talking about it, but it becomes irrelevant when it's just a broken record. It keeps going, keeps repeating. Like you said, if we saw that she was just doing her thing, she cared about her husband, understood what he was going through, but then fucking snapped when he just wasn't reacting. That's it. That's what this character should have been. Really annoyed that it wasn't, because it's a great opportunity missed.
Yeah. It suffers a lot of those great opportunity missed. Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't really have anything else to say. I think the fake baby was probably my favorite part of the whole movie. I don't hate this movie, though. Like, I don't hate it.
And a technical achievement goes to American Sniper.
Oh, my God. If this wins anything, I'm going to be pissed off.
It'll win stuff, for sure.
I'll be fucking irritated if it does. It's just not outstanding. I don't hate it. Mm. I'm not sitting here going, what a fucking shitty, terrible, awful film. I am sitting here going, wow, the themes this film represents are really, I don't think, are something that should be, like, they shouldn't be missed. You need, I feel like people need to be aware of what this film is and what it does, because it's important, I think, for people to know that. From a film point of view, it's just meh. Like, it's just kind of like, it's not a very good, like, war film from my point of view, like, entertainment wise. I mean, like, it's not gritty enough to be like, wow, look how like gritty and real this is, and it's not Hollywood enough for it to be like a fun, like Fury, because I think Fury, you know, I had a dislike for Fury as well, you remember, but I think that kind of hit, like, upon reflection, especially after seeing this, it really kind of hit a note of like gritty realism and hyper-violence with that sort of Hollywood feel, you know, and they put it together, which I had an issue with it not going one or two ways, but at least it had a balance, like at least it had something and that balance was good. This is like what Fury kind of did, except the balance isn't there. Like, it's worse.
Yeah, I think Fury was better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, what do you rate this film?
2.5 out of 5, because of its themes, because of what it represents. And like, I disagree. I can see it from like a film point of view, and I can watch it. Totally can. I'm not stupid. My disagreement with what it's trying to represent doesn't stop me from either enjoying a film or disliking a film. But a director, you know, a film conveys meaning. It conveys a theme. It's an art form. And I disagree with what it was saying, and I don't like it, and I think it was, I don't think it did a very good thing for anyone, and because of that, 2.5 out of 5. Even, look, it would have been the same fucking thing if it didn't have that super pro-American feel, because it's just not very good. If it wins Best Picture, I will shave my head. If it wins Best Picture, I will shave my fucking head.
And we will film it.
We will film it.
And I will put it on the Fishing Connor Saw a Movie podcast Facebook.
I'm so...
I don't think it will win Best Picture. I think he'll probably win Best Actor just because of who he played. I'm not going to go with that's my pick, but that's what I think.
If he wins Best Actor, I'll shave my butt hairs. That's what I'll do. Don't film that, but I'll do it anyway.
Do you even have butt hairs at 17?
Who the fuck doesn't have butt hairs? I'm 18. They grew, right. Thank you.
Oh, over they that grew year.
In. Well, I'm 18 now. Time for some butt hairs.
Cinema movie, DVD. Don't see it at all.
Don't see it. Please. Please.
All right. Look, I can see the pro-America thing in it, like I've said, but it didn't bother me nearly as much as it did you.
Lots of films do it too, though. Like,
oh, man. Act of Valor. Have you seen that shit? That is just... That's American propaganda, if you want to see
that. Lots of films do it. Don't get me wrong. Like, lots of films do it. And I know this. Australian films can do it. Lots of films do it for their country. And that's what happens, because it's a... It's patriotism, and that's what I mean. And I know that
It's rooting for the team.
Yeah, I'm not stupid. I'm not fucking sitting here going, this is the only film that's ever done this. I can't believe it. I'm just saying, I'm talking about this movie in particular, and this is what it represents, and I don't like it. I also don't like other films that fucking represent this either. That doesn't mean Hurt Locker does it a lot. Hurt Locker is very pro-military, and I really like, I fucking love the Hurt Locker because I think it's fun as fuck to watch. Like, it's so cool, but it does it the whole way through, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth when I watch it because I'm like, oh, like, come on. But it's the same thing though. But sorry, I had to put that in.
Can I do my?
I'm sorry.
Can I do mine now? Is that fine? You've had your piece.
Should just be called
Shut Your Mouth. Should just be called Connoisseur Movie.
Connoisseur Movie. Fish kind of adds in a comment occasionally.
I'm the hype man. Yeah, no, like I said, I didn't have issue with it because I think I came in expecting it.
Mm.
And I was more in awe of Bradley Cooper's performance. I thought he did fantastic. And I thought, I really like Clint Eastwood as a director. And yeah, look, he does bat for the Americans. He's an American guy. He grew up in the fucking World War II era from there and has been through every war since then. You know, he was an American hero. He's Dirty Harry. He's fucking the man with no name or whatever in, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So, whatever. I don't care. All I care about is, does this story fucking work for me? The general story is pretty decent. I like the story of Chris Kyle and I like what Bradley Cooper did with it. But as a narrative, as you said, it is fucking muddled. It's just all over the shop.
So weak.
And they're very, very strong parts. Like that scene with the kid picking up that rocket launcher and the way that, you know, Bradley Cooper reacts after that. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like if there was more of that and it wasn't as fucking long, it was way too fucking long. 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever it was. Shave 25 minutes off. Cut half the fucking tour shit out, put more PTSD in, fucking, that's probably a 4.5 out of 5 for me. Like, is what I wanted to see. But sadly, that's not what it is. Generally, the muddleness and the lack of attention to other characters really bothered me. And I found myself coming in and out of this film, like zoning out, thinking about other things, which should never happen in a film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about... Yeah, I was thinking about... You know what would be cool? Going snowboarding again. Other than watching this fucking this sandstorm scene. I'd rather be in a snowstorm on a fucking... on a mountain than in this shitty sandstorm scene. But listen, what do you think I'm going to give it?
3.
You're right. When you said 2.5, I fucking laughed. I'm on a 3. And I did think this would be a 4 for me. Because, you know, I was really excited for this film. I thought...
Yeah, me too, though. I was keen too.
Yeah, that trailer is one of the best trailers I've ever seen. I think it's awesome. That's how trailers should be. It didn't need to do a montage of the highlights of the film. It just needed to show us that this is what this character has to deal with, and that's what this movie's going to be about. Cool. And that was a good scene in the movie, and I quite liked where that scene went. I liked that he shot the kid, like, as fucked up as that sounds. Like, I liked that it went there, and this is what this guy had to do. So, 3 out of 5... I probably wouldn't say you need to see this at cinemas. I think it's worth seeing just because of Bradley Cooper. I think he's worth the price of admission myself, but you could wait for DVD. You could watch this at home. Or you just
burn it when you get it.
And that's your opinion. You've had your say. We said this. But so I'm really surprised at how weak this did end up being. But Brad Coops, I'm on that. I don't know if he deserves an Oscar, but I think he will. So there we go. So next week, what do we got?
Foxcatcher.
Fucking finally. You know how long we've had the posters for this fucking movie in our poster room? Probably about a year. I actually thought that we'd missed it. I didn't think it was coming.
Steve Carell's nose looks fucking stupid. Just to clarify.
Is he up for an Oscar?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. It looks really good though. It looks like a really good movie. But Steve, his nose looks so dumb. He's got a big nose as is. Just let him have that.
Just let him have it,
No, it looks really interesting. Mark Ruffalo, Channing Tatum, Steve Carell.
Yeah, great cast.
Pretty good cast. So hopefully it's good. We'll
talk about that next week.
Yeah, we gotta review that quick though. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm in
Stanford. It'll still be up Wednesday though. We'll record it on Sunday. if okay. we can.
Cool. Yeah, Sunday sounds good. We'll figure it out.
Cool. All right, ladies and gents, thanks for listening to our review of American Sniper, and we're back to our original structure and still only going an hour. That's pretty fucking good.
We were always in our original structure.
On the last two?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the other films.
That's true.
Yeah, we're back on the original structure.
Sorry. What do I know?
Nothing.
I'm an idiot. Mm. I'm just an idiot.
Hey, you're right. All right, guys, until next week.
See you all the fuck later. Play the music, David.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film American Sniper, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track The Funeral from American Sniper cover version is performed by Pitchhawk.